Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
It's spinning! It's spinning! Jonathan Sexton has made it!
Do you feel moderately happy?
No, I feel like I've been kissing my sister, I suppose.
In the pocket for his drop goal attempt. Here he goes, O'Gara. He's done it! That surely is the grand slam.
We target players all the time. That's part of rugby, isn't it? Let me know.
Sexton, wonderful pass, and Stockdale finishes.
There'll be more than grenades. There'll be full tanks and full shells landing on the Aviva.
Grand Slam winners on St. Patrick's Day at Twickenham.
Now then, you're very welcome back. So Ronan O'Gara should be with this afternoon.
Hey Joe, how are you?
Very well, how are things?
Yeah, okay, not too bad. A defeat on the road last night in Montpellier, so quite disappointing, but that happens.
I saw that, yeah. Are you brooding on it for the day, or have you decided to try and park it?
No, I was reviewing it for all the morning, so this is a nice distraction.
Okay.
And it's just, you can never get away from it. That's the problem.
Yeah. So then I won't go down the line of where did it all go wrong yesterday. We might talk about Ireland. Might be the best plan.
No, it's all good. Well, we had a lot of opportunities to win the game in Montpellier, but we didn't really take them. So if you don't take your chances away from home, you don't get the result. But with a lot of, I suppose, a bit of a review, you can see there's opportunities. If there wasn't opportunities, Joe, you'd be doing your head in more.
Mm. Did you get a chance to watch Ireland-Wales?
Yeah, I did. I saw it. Yeah, I was on in the, actually in the team room. So it was, we played at 20:45 last night, French time, so it was a long day. So it was nice to be able to watch a good game of rugby.
We'll ask you about various aspects. You might set out the context firstly. Like, how close to full-blooded was this?
From an Ireland point of view, I suppose it was a very strong team. Peter Romani, obviously, I think would be a definite starter in Ireland, strong as 15. Jacob Stockdale, I think, will be on the left wing for the big games. Other than that, second row, obviously, was an opportunity for John Klein, and you could see that the scrum was effective with him playing there. Back row, big opportunity for Jack Conham, and obviously the front row was as it has been for, I suppose, the last 50 tests nearly, so it was a full of locked and loaded Irish team. But Wales were strong, obviously. Patchell gone off early, I think, disrupted them most definitely.
Mm. And watching it, did it strike you, like, in terms of intensity, are we kind of 70-80% what it would be if they were playing in the World Cup kind of territory?
Yeah, that was the thing I was trying to work out as well. I think it was an intense game. I didn't think it was at a level of a Six Nations game, but you wouldn't expect it to be. But it wasn't, you know what I mean? It was definitely up a few gears, obviously, from the Twickenham game, where there was one team really dominating. But yesterday it was nip and tuck, and Wales were in the game for a long period of time, which probably you'd expect, but also would potentially annoyed Ireland, the fact that they went in at half time leading, and Ireland, for the first 20 minutes it was bizarre, I suppose, the amount of possession that Wales had. Usually that's Ireland what they do at home, so once Ireland got a bit of ball, they managed to implement their game plan. But it's in terms of intensity, I'm not too sure, but what was certain was that there was ferocity in the Irish forwards play, and there was in their carries near the line. It just looks very difficult for them, not difficult, but very hard going. In terms of that, it's so hard to stop, but yes, it's probably taken so much out of the individual and in the amount he's carrying as well.
Mm. It's interesting you make that point, because on the TV afterwards, for instance, Eddie O'Sullivan was saying you know, obviously this is a good day, and it puts Twickenham a bit in the shade and shows that the team were obviously just very tired then, and we're getting back up to a good place. But he said, for instance, take the second half. He said there was kind of complete domination really for Ireland. They were winning the collisions and having to fight very hard to win them, and still there was only a 12-point return. So he was saying, like, we don't want to get too carried away here either and think that things are wonderful either.
Yeah, I think it's probably a bit harsh, but potentially. I would say where we were coming from the Twickenham performance, we really didn't know what to expect even from the first team. That's how much of, I think, of a psychological hammering we took in Twickenham. So from that point of view, it was very important that Ireland won no matter what it was yesterday. I think we needed to win at all costs yesterday. And I would say Ireland were happy in fact that their performance was good in a lot of components and a lot of parts of the pitch. But I think where they will definitely need to, I suppose, be cognizant of the fact is using their backs potentially more. I think there's definite growth there. You could see the try Furlong scored. It's so hard to defend. But when that slows up, I think Ireland have to have the capacity to probably develop a strike pattern with forwards, backs, or potentially forwards. Then you got to use your backs at some stage. You've got to take the heat off. And the Wales try was probably a good example of that, and the fact that it didn't look like that there was much on, but then Hadley Parks hit a brilliant line outside the fifth. Mm. I mean, was it inside the fifth defender? And just for a little bit of a split second, he caught Bundiaki and Robbie Henshaw a little bit indecisive for that split second, and a great line and carried him 7 metres off the goal line and took the referee out of it. So, yeah, I think, the warm-up games and the way it finished for the Six Nations, confidence was huge, and you could see it definitely coming back. So they will go to Japan with a pep in their step. Mm. And I think that was the ultimate from yesterday's point of view.
And when you make that observation about getting the backs more involved, the Irish backs more involved at times, has that been something that you've been thinking about Ireland for quite some time? Is it a more recent thing? And why might they not be?
It was just actually an instinctive thought yesterday, Joe. I think when you watch so much rugby, you don't know what you're watching half the time and what team it is. So, but it just jumped out at me looking at it yesterday, the fact that I think there are a few wrinkles, especially the fact with the opportunities, obviously, when Ireland used the loop play with Johnny hitting the second receiver and the third receiver hitting flat and out the back to Johnny. I think you can work an awful lot of good things with the skill level that the Irish kind of back row and midfield have. Mm. And using Johnny as a decoy as well, you can maybe use that with a blindside wing. So I think there's great room there to be creative, but it's also the hardest zone in the pitch to score from, because normally you have 13 people on their feet, and you also have a 15 who doesn't have much ground to cover. So that and the attacking kicking game, I think, is where there will be a lot of tries scored in Rugby World Cup.
Okay. A lot of observers were complimentary of the Aki Henshaw partnership yesterday. This is probably, going back over the last 2 years, this is potentially the first time that all four centres, if you throw in Farrell as well, have been fit. Like, quite often it seems like at least two have been injured for quite a lot of the past 2 years. So what did you see from Aki and Henshaw? Did you like it? Who is there anyone of the three, I suppose, with Farrell as the fourth, any of those three centres who are nailed down starters for you? Could we see different partnerships for different teams? What are you seeing there?
I think because there's so much quality there, there's no possible way at this level that any of them are nailed on starters. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I just think that with someone like Andy Farrell in the coaching group, I think the confidence he will give each and every one of them, depending on what opposition is in front of them, I think that is very crucial. Ringrose definitely has an attacking edge to him potentially that separates him. I think he's a great glider on the ball, and he has that capacity to probably get on the outside while the other three are more direct. Bundiaki's try against Twickenham, very few players in the world can score that. And it shows how dangerous he is. I always felt that Henshaw's game potentially was, we weren't getting the full array of his skills. And yesterday you could see his work rate epitomised by the chase back and his capacity to get his hand in to stop a certain try. Just even though he completed the tackle, but there's an extra job at the back end of the tackle to be done. So I think the trick for Robbie is to try and string together three games, and then I think you'll probably see the best of him, because he's, if memory serves me correctly, he hasn't strung together a lot of test games.
Yeah.
And that's, it's okay for Leinster doing that because it's a little level lower, but for himself and Johnny and Bundy and Gary or Chris to get, I suppose, the best out of each other, they need to be playing more frequently. But in terms of a pecking order, I don't know what way they will go, because I think it's a big area of strength.
And if I had to push you, what would be the Ronan O'Gara pecking order? And I know you're looking in on the outside, you're not seeing training.
I think I'd probably go Bundiaki and Henshaw, but I think with that, you know, I think there's always a foil for someone like Ringrose for 30 minutes minimum.
Because one of the things that's said about Ringrose is he comes in and defensively he does a really good job for Ireland, makes a lot of good reads and good decisions. Do you lose that with the other two, with Henshaw and Aki, or are they okay there?
No, I don't think so. And I think the game is changing a little bit too in terms of... if you're softish in defence, you're going to have a lot more reads to make. But if you're aggressive in defence, you're hoping that you don't have many reads to make. So it depends also too what guidelines are getting off the pitch. So I think Gary's really good on both sides of the ball, as are the two others, obviously.
And
as I said, I think it's an area that you know what I mean, over 80 minutes, 3-2 actually does go.
Yeah, fair point. Johnny Sexton came back. I mean, the whole country's hoping he comes back and looks good. I think in the main, how did he look to you?
Yeah, he has a remarkable capacity to hit the ground running, and I think that's testament probably to the mental preparation he does. It wouldn't be easy because, it's very hard to replicate what you do in training to put that into a test match, especially against the quality of Wales. And he's been out for a long time and got through, I think, 63 minutes, which is good. And there was Jack Carty getting on the pitch as well. But the games are so unforgiving at the minute. He got a lot of belts in a so-called friendly. He takes the ball to the line, he's getting hit. But I think what is important for, I suppose, a lot of supporters to realise too is that it's getting harder and harder for Johnny, or harder might be the wrong word, but it's probably unrealistic to see him, I would say, playing four games in a row of 80 minutes. So I think if you're a 10 in that squad, you want to be excited and you want to, I suppose, appreciate the responsibility you have for the team, because you know what it will take. The key to winning this World Cup or performing in this World Cup won't be numbers 1 to 23, it'll be numbers 24 to 31, but also you can see from the way the game has gone and the physicality and the intensity of test level, and it wasn't at ultimate level yesterday, but the replacements are having a huge impact on the game. So Jack Carty comes in after 63 minutes, and that's there's a lot of footy to be played, as they said, in 17 minutes.
Yeah, just the last one, because I know you have to run. For people who didn't see the game, Ireland lost the first two lineouts. Alwyn Jones and Tipperick were there, and I guess the reassuring thing is all hell didn't break loose and there wasn't panic, and they seemed to regroup and troubleshoot that, and they won 5 from 5 in the second half. James Ryan was calling the lineouts and he got man of the match as well, and on TV and everywhere people are effusive about Ryan and saying, you know, this guy, if there was a World 15 named tomorrow, he'd be in it. Is that right? Because we can all be a bit insular here. Is he that good at the moment at 23? Does he have areas he needs to improve on? Like, where is Ryan globally at the moment when we're talking about this guy?
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, I think that word 15 thing is nonsense in the fact that James Ryan doesn't want, I suppose, that's not important to him. What is important to him is the respect of his peers and the respect of his coaches. And I think what he does is he consistently performs. And he's been excellent, but he's been excellent for, I think, is it probably 2 or 3 years at this stage? Mm. So there'll be more challenges ahead, and he has been brilliant. And he looks very fit. He looks very composed. He plays right on the edge. His fitness level is very good. His skills are very good. I think his intelligence is underappreciated. His capacity to problem solve on the run, as you say, exactly. A young guy, 23, calling the lineouts, losing the first 2 or 3.
Yeah.
There is a capacity, especially irrespective of this game, but there was a lot of pressure on the lineout. And the fact that Devin Tone was left out and Rory Best was under the pump a little bit. So I think he has a great aura about him and a great presence about him. And Alwyn Jones would have the same. But he doesn't have to look too far in terms of judging where his game is. Atoje, for me, is an incredible second row as well. And the try he scored against Ireland will be a nice reminder also of the way the game is going. And I suppose what sharp, athletic, intelligent second rows, the lines they can pick and the reward they can get in the game. But from Ireland's point of view, he is absolutely crucial to everything that this team wants to do.
He sure is. Okay, listen, our time
and Keith Earls too. Keith Earls, it was interesting with Rory Best going off. It was getting his applause. There was a real story behind that, and the fact that Keith Earls' body language didn't look great.
Yeah,
so
there's no word yet on Earls.
What that looked like, but you know, if you're talking about the James Ryan at the back for the last 18 months has probably been Keith Earls. He's been Ireland's best back, I felt. He's been Ireland's most consistent back. Mm. And I think he has a great capacity to settle players around him and encourage them, because I think Keith will acknowledge himself that he had tough days mentally, but he seems to have found that kind of inner contentment where he knows how to perform and how to get the best out of himself every week.
Yeah, it's true. So to sum up, if someone didn't see the game yesterday, your big takeaway from Ireland's performance as we head off, as the team head off on Wednesday?
Confidence restored, pep in their step. I'd like, how do you say go well in Japan, in Japanese?
Can you even say it in French?
Bonne chance.
Bonne chance. Okay, good man. So what's your plan for today? I presume you're going to forget about Montpellier and not go and watch that bloody game 10 times.
I've only done the first 40 minutes.
Ah, jeez.
Such an enjoyable afternoon ahead of me.
Okay.